Live from Rick's basement in Jerseyville, Illinois, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your host, author, statesman, musician, the first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, and the legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, a man who once filled in for Pete Townsend in The Who, Richard J. Ringhausen. And, are you ready? Marksman, sculptor, daredevil, the seven-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion, and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. A man who doesn't take no for an answer. The youngest of the Ringhausen brothers that are here. And the star of your show, Alan J. Ringhausen.
Hey, Rick.
Funkadelic.
Can I have another cookie?
Yeah. Oh, no. No, you can't.
Just a little slow on the uptake there.
Right? I know. I'm getting old.
All right.
Well, yeah, sure. Go up, get one.
No for an answer.
That's because you.
I'm taking it.
Well, you're eating cookies, and I just thought maybe you're really going to go get another one.
Did you ever hear a story about our dad talking about his Uncle Paul? Uncle Paul.
Ringhausen.
All of my dad's uncles. All of my dad's uncles each received a farm from their father.
Right.
And they all, you know, some of them prospered, some of them gave up their farms and didn't continue on.
And by the way, that tradition seems to have gone out the window because our dad's just going to outlive all of us.
That's right. But Uncle Paul did not follow in the footsteps of being an orchardist. And raised cattle instead. And the other thing that he did not raise was children. And so I guess when Dad talks about you know, his mom and dad taking him over to visit Uncle Paul, when they would come in the door, Uncle Paul would take the cookies that would be on the counter and put them away because they were for
him.
They were for his breakfast. Not these grubby little kids coming up.
give the kids
hiding the cookies
and give the kids black licorice.
There you go. Dad developed a taste for that.
Well, apparently that's where it happened.
Is it true that you can get high on eating too much black licorice?
I've never tried that. What is the active ingredient? Anise? Is it?
Could be. That kids don't try. Eating a bunch of black licorice. It won't get you anywhere. As a matter of fact, it could cause internal injuries to your organs.
Could.
And then what happens? You'd have to have it replaced if you could. What are you looking for?
I don't know.
You lose your ink pen?
No, I didn't. Lost my mind.
Lose a cookie?
Lost my mind. Hey, the other day we were driving someplace,
yeah.
I can't remember where it was, and just out of the blue, you made the discussion about making a little extra money by selling your body parts.
Okay, well, yeah, I can't remember who it was, had a kidney replaced, and I thought, well, you know, it's probably an expensive operation, but the kidney was free.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, any body parts that you receive, you know, like a transplant.
Yeah.
You're not paying for them.
Under United States law, it's illegal to sell human organs.
And, you know, you can sell blood.
Yeah.
You can sell blood, but organs, no. And the rationale behind not being able to sell organs is that the underprivileged or lower class would take advantage of this and try and make money
selling their organs.
By selling their organs. And it became actually a little more complicated when with the advent of the internet.
Oh, yeah.
Because that opened up a much wider market. I mean, before that, I guess you could put an ad in a local newspaper, kidney for sale.
Well, let me ask this question.
Yeah.
Let's say that the premier of Uzbekistan or even China needed a kidney.
Yeah.
You're telling me they couldn't find someone to sell him a kidney?
I think they would find him a kidney during the night and have one ready to go the next day.
You don't think they'd have? Okay, well, what about in, like, let's say Saudi Arabia, that the emir of Saudi Arabia needed a kidney and has...
Well, they'd take a woman's.
And has all... has all the money in the world to buy one. There are people, you don't want to know where, but I could get you a kidney.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Because, you know, if you have two, so you can live without one, you could sell
right.
one.
Right.
Now, mine are just packed with kidney stones. I don't know. I don't think I could get good money for them.
Yeah, but I think that once they get it out of you, they can kind of flush it out. And make it, you know, kind of. A repurposed or kind of like they take old automotive parts and repurpose them. You know,
You go to an automotive store, you can either get refurbished.
Refurbished. That's where
refurbished
you can get
parts.
A refurbished kidney, maybe a little cheaper. Yeah, and the other thing is I don't know, if you're saying I got an 18-year-old kidney here as opposed to a 66-year-old kidney. A lot of miles on that, Rick.
Or someone that had spent their life, you know, drinking.
Yeah. Well, it's not like you're giving up a liver. You need that. You can't.
You can sell. No, you don't need. Look at the sheet I gave you. I gave you a sheet with a list of the parts that you can do without.
Okay. Organs you can do without. Appendix. I knew that.
And you've done that, right?
Already sacrificed mine to the gods.
That was a case you didn't even know it was your kidney, right?
No,
were you like wallowing around on the floor thinking it was bad bellyache?
I thought it was food poisoning. I really did.
Thought Sarah was killing you.
I was up in Peoria, Illinois, and I was getting ready to head home, but I needed to stop and get something to eat. And here's this, like, the biggest Chinese restaurant I've ever seen in my life. And I go into it, it's a Chinese buffet, and they have things that... that looked like something from outer space.
First, I didn't think you'd ever eat off of a buffet, but...
Well, I was young, impetuous. So I ate at this, and I was fine, driving home. Next day, I had a little tummy ache, and I thought, oh, no. I'm having international food poisoning here. And it just kept getting worse. And then, I told Sarah, I said, man, something's wrong. I think I got food poisoning. And she said, well, let's give it another day, see what happens. And the next day, it wasn't as bad. But then the day after that, it got worse again. I'm like, oh, God. And so I go into the doctor's office, and they said, well, let's do a scan. They do the scan, and they said, call your wife.
That you're going to die.
And tell her to bring you some extra clothes. We're going to keep you here. As a matter of fact, we're scheduling you for emergency surgery right now. Your appendix is gone. It's going. It's got to come out. It's in bad shape. So the only thing I regret is that I didn't
keep it
and put it in a jar.
Okay.
And the regret set in. And so I went to the store and I got a jar of pickled pig's feet and cut a chunk off of that and put it in a jar of, the same liquid that it comes in and put it on my desk. Appendix.
Alan's appendix.
Labeled appendix.
And then pull it out and
eat it in front of somebody that's visiting.
Yeah, okay.
Pull it out and sniff it.
Right. Like all the rest of the food you eat.
And then I just popped it in.
All right, what other organs can I do without?
It says here you can do without your spleen.
What does the spleen do anyway? Do you have any idea?
It says it acts as a filter for the immune system, among other things.
Huh.
And it also controls the amount of red blood cells in your body.
Okay, so it does have a purpose, apparently.
Yeah.
But you can live without it.
Apparently you can live without it.
They
they're going to put you on some medication.
They even have a word for it, a spleenectomy. I didn't know if you knew
that. Is that in there?
I don't know, but it's a fact.
Okay. I think you're making that up.
Splenectomy. So you could get rid of one of your kidneys, your appendix, and your spleen.
You could have been de-spleened.
That sounds better than a splenectomy.
Yeah, I think it does. I've been de-spleened. On the street.
In an alleyway.
Okay, kidney, we already did. It says right here that you can do without a stomach. I guess that's what these people that are getting a gastric bypass. Yeah. So what's that doing, dumping food directly into your small intestine?
It is indeed. You have to be really careful about what you eat after your stomach's been removed, though, because your stomach does have a purpose. You know, it's grinding
now,
up.
If you have gastric bypass, can they reconnect your stomach after a while?
That's
I was happier when I was fat.
That's a great question.
I'm jolly. Now I'm thin and miserable.
Yeah, you just have to eat like applesauce and oatmeal because it's already been pulverized.
The gallbladder.
I don't know what that one does.
It's located on the right side of the abdomen. It's a storage sac.
It's where it stores gallstones.
Storage sac. I don't even like the sound of that. Storage sac for this yellowish-brown enzyme called bile. There's nothing good about the gallbladder for me.
No, that's that nasty stuff when you almost throw up but don't. You know what I'm talking about.
I'm getting a little queasy right now. I need to get rid of my gallbladder.
You know, I think...
It says the removal of the gallbladder isn't of much significance because the liver can produce sufficient amount of bile and a sustained functioning of the body.
And I think Sue's had her gallbladder removed. They just punch like three holes in your belly and pull it out. They don't even have to cut you open much.
There was some kind of diet plan. This is like back in the 80s or something that people were taking some kind of diet supplement, and about half the people that took it ended up having to have their gallbladders removed.
Sorry about that.
It says here that you can do it without your colon.
Yeah, they can cut big pieces of your colon out. I don't think they can cut all of it out.
You're not losing all of it.
No, but some of it. Because there's a lot of it.
Lungs?
You know, if they stretch your colons out, it'll reach all the way to Chicago.
Mine reached to China.
You think?
No, I'm just
making it. Depends on how far you stretch it. Depends on how close to China you are.
How elastic it is.
Yeah.
I think that in ancient times, people used the internal organs of various animals as storage containers.
Well, I know that's true, like sheep casings.
Okay, anyway, I don't want to talk about that. Lungs. So you can do it without a lung.
Yeah, there's people who have.
Our grandfather had one lung removed.
They say your lung can regrow a lobe, though.
Did you know that?
Yeah, I mean, because your lobes, you got three on one side and two on the other, don't you?
Something like that.
I don't think the lobes are the same. I don't think lungs are the same size. I think you got a big lung and a little lung.
I think I'm going to name the lobes of my lung.
Like your children. And you're going to sell one of them.
Right.
Like your children.
Just like my children. The bladder, I think I want to keep my bladder.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you do without the bladder.
When the kidneys generate urine, it's stored in the bladder.
I think you
get
it.
When the bladder reaches its capacity, the urine flows out of it through the tube-like muscles called ureters. The process of urination is important to get rid of the toxic waste and excess fluid developed in the body. In cases where the bladders are required to be removed, doctors insert a special urinary diversion called an Indiana pouch.
Colostomy bag,
right?
Acts as
a bladder.
Don't you get a colostomy bag?
I don't think that's urine.
Oh, all right, go ahead.
And it says it acts like a bladder, but with this, the patient does not sense when he or she may need to urinate. They have to set an alarm to regularly empty the pouch.
Hmm. Well,
my alarm didn't go off.
Again, just like real life.
And it says various reproductive organs you can do without those, Rick.
Well, I think once you reach a certain age, you're doing without them regardless, aren't you?
There we go. And I think that is the list of the ones that you can do without or without part of it.
Now, as we mentioned earlier, it's absolutely illegal to sell your body parts. Other than blood, you can get money for donating blood.
Yeah, you know, I talked to a guy the other day, and he was getting ready to take his wife to the hospital.
He was going to sell her organs?
For a checkup. She had had an aorta transplant.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty serious.
Yeah. And I said, wow, that's incredible. He said, yeah. I said, the life expectancy after having had your aorta transplanted or having one transplanted in is 2 to 3 years. I said, yeah, where she stand right now? He said, she's 8 years in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now she's getting her money's worth.
You betcha.
What's your life expectancy if they remove your aorta?
I don't know, but here's the thing, you know, can you have more than one? You know, like, it's coming up on 3 years. I was going to see if I could get back in line.
Hey, I think for another one. I think there are absolutely people who've had multiple organ transplants.
Yeah?
Yeah, like the new kidney fails, so they get another one.
You need to look up the person who's had the most organ transplants.
Oh, that'd be cool to know.
Yeah, that'd be a really good one to know. Probably in the Guinness Book of World Records or something, isn't it?
I would say.
Here's, I don't know if I should tell this story or not.
Is it going to be the story about you harvesting an organ from somebody?
No. I had gone to the doctor's office. I can't remember if it was 40 or 50, but it's one of those landmark years where you have a colonoscopy.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they put you out, right? Uh-huh. Which I'm glad that they do.
Thank God.
Yeah. But when you wake up, you're in this recovery room, and you're all happy, you know, because you had the happy juice, you know,
uh-huh.
And you're there. So, and everybody else there, kind of, you know, you look around and everybody's just laying around, hey. And when Sarah had dropped me off there to have my colonoscopy, she said, I'm going shopping. And they call me when they say it's okay to release you. And so I'm laying there, and the nurse comes in. She's feeling okay. Yeah,
I feel great.
I feel great. Where's my phone? She said, well, you're not quite ready to go home. I said, I know. So I call up Sarah, who was out shopping, and I said, Sarah, you better come. Things went horribly wrong. They had to do an emergency anus transplant. Here, let out this sigh over the phone. And I said, and Sarah, it rejected me. And the nurse is standing there and she's rolling her eyes. Oh my God.
So
Sarah said, find your own way home.
To what extent was that the gas talking, and what extent was it just you as your normal self?
I don't know, but I didn't use the word. Anyway, it didn't go real good.
She knew what she was getting when she got you. A perfect one.
Anyway, so I had brought up the question, you know, like, what if I wouldn't make a little extra money? Maybe I want to buy a car or something like that. What can I sell that I'm not using?
Yeah, and we looked up the black market prices of organs. Now, this is completely
illegal. Totally illegal.
Don't do it.
Yeah, but don't even think about it.
So my question to you is...
Listen to this podcast and then just put it out of your mind.
Right. My question to you, Alan, is... you know, that you've got the going rates for these things.
Yeah.
My question is, would you take the going rate for whatever organ you're talking about, or would you ask for demand more money?
Well, you know, I think I'm a pretty healthy guy. What I don't know is, does this also cover the cost of the operation, right?
Oh, I'd say so.
The buyer has to cover your medical expenses,
yeah.
And then they get the product.
It's like an extra thing added on when you buy a used car.
Right, and no guarantees.
No, it's as is.
Buyer beware.
No warranty.
Right. You know, like if they take out my kidney, it's all spotty, you know, got brown spots all over it. Hey, you know, that's a chance you take.
I said
they'd do a few x-rays in advance, right? Ooh, that kidney, I don't think so.
Did you see, you've seen the show Alone, right? Where the guys go off and they hunt, they dump them off and they have to kill animals to live.
Yeah.
I was watching one of those. And the guy, he's hunting a wild boar, right?
Yeah.
And he kills one.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, I am set.
Right.
And he butchers it, right?
Yeah.
And when he cuts it open, the liver is just covered with spots. I mean, that there's clearly...
Don't eat the liver.
Clearly something seriously wrong with it. Now, my question is, do you just throw the liver aside or and assume the rest of it's fine? Or do you say, geez, it's infected with something. Do I take a chance on the rest of it?
Well, okay, first of all, how does he know the pig's liver doesn't always look like that?
It looked bad enough that even I, as a doctor of law, would have said,
don't eat that liver.
I'm not eating that pig liver.
I don't know. It depends on how hungry I was.
I ain't good.
Okay. Okay, so it says here that on the black market, if you could find this, apparently it does happen out there in the world, a kidney could fetch you as much as
$200,000. $200,000?
So it says here, $200,000 for a kidney. I think that if that was true, you know...
There'd be people selling their kidneys.
Well, half of West Virginia would be without a kidney right now.
Who's to say they aren't?
Well,
maybe China's just crawling with West Virginia kidneys.
I don't know. But
okay, so sure. 200,000 now.
200,000.
Get the checkbook out today. Sell one of your kidneys for 200,000.
Well, that's going rate. I'm going to go a little above it.
I think you're worth more than
I think I, you know, I'm trying to think what I want.
But it's like a 60-year-old kidney.
Yeah, but it's functioning. Man, does it function at night. It's doing its job. Okay.
200K for kidney. You know, and you know what? The kidney is the most sought-after organ for...
Of all the organs?
Yeah. Well,
by far the most popular organ on the black market. And so it's like one of the most expensive.
Because people won't need a kidney.
Okay,
they don't want to see dialysis.
Liver disease, including alcoholic liver disease.
All right. Or having big
cirrhosis, carcinoma.
Having horrible spots on your liver like a pig in
but
Australia.
But you can't give up your entire liver.
No, I understand that.
And live. So I don't see how that, you know, like, you know, okay, let's say that you were terminally ill, but it's not your liver, it's some other, you know, part of your body that's going to give up, and they've given you 2 weeks to live. Could your wife then get on the internet and find a buyer for your heart, which, you know, the doctor said, well, his heart, amazingly, his heart is in perfect condition. But it's the rest of him that's giving out. It's right. His brain. He's going to be brain dead in about a week and probably live one more week where you could consider harvesting some organs and donating them.
And make a little money.
Donating them. And that's when the wife goes, you know, to the dark side of the web and starts, you know, auctioning off your parts.
Rick's decided he's going to do hospice in Malaysia.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, you could get $150,000 for your liver. Like if she just, you know, really started shopping things around, she get $157,000 for a liver. There's two kidneys in you, $400,000. Your heart, it says a heart on the market, and it says an illegally obtained heart is worth $120,000.
An illegally obtained heart, as opposed to a legally obtained.
Well, you can donate your heart.
Oh, I know. That's what you said. You're on a waiting list, and there's no preference to you. If you're a gajillionaire, you're still on the list. It's the same as anybody else, unless you go to Malaysia and get one.
A cornea.
What, your eyeballs?
Well, part of it. Because they can transplant a cornea.
And you got two.
And you got two. You know, like, as long as I keep my shooting eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you wear an eye patch over the other one, like a pirate.
Yeah, you know, I went with the eye patch for quite a while, and I thought it was kind of cool.
You look like that guy that tried to kill Hitler. Didn't he have an eye patch?
I think he did have an eye patch.
I think he did.
Okay. Yeah, but see, he missed. There you go. Now, here's one that's interesting. Your bone marrow. You can sell it.
Really?
Yes, sir.
You know, bone marrow is
legally.
Like, Yeah, that's like a prime source of disease cure-all.
Okay, well, you know, here's some things to consider. An ounce, no, a gram of bone marrow is worth $3,000.
An ounce?
A gram.
A gram.
Wait, do you get this off the British net or what? The things are in grams here.
Well, it wouldn't be the
nobody,
British.
Nobody in America knows what a gram is unless you're on drugs.
I was going to say, the guys who sell it in the streets of Chicago or L.A. know what a gram is.
Are you looking for a gram? What's a gram? Okay, you're not one of my customers. How many grams of bone marrow could you give up before you're not functioning anymore?
Before you're feeling bad?
Yeah. Feeling a little woozy here. But here's the drawbacks. It says it's one of the quickest ways to obtain money by selling something, but it's difficult to be the correct genetic match.
Right.
So, you know, the possibilities are few and far in between. And it says the experience is painful.
Yeah, that's the part I don't like. Going back to donating my liver or selling my liver, right?
Yeah.
What happens when they cut you open and it's got all those spots like that pig in the movie, in the TV show? They say,
hey, you signed a contract, buddy.
I mean, at the least you're going to sew me back up, right?
Right.
I would think that'd be in the contract.
Bad kidney. Okay, here's one that doesn't really affect us a whole lot. It's selling eggs.
Oh, yeah. That's a real thing. Or you can donate your eggs or your semen. There's banks that take those things.
Apparently, legal donors can be compensated between $5,000 to $35,000. I guess it depends on how you look. I don't know what they're basing.
You walk in, they give you an IQ test, too.
You look just like Marilyn Monroe. $35,000 for an egg.
And your cousin here? Not so much.
Yeah. Let's see, what else we got? Bones and ligaments.
You know, going back to that one, you know, if your donor was like a big NFL star, that, you know, that not only would you get a child, but maybe one that can really make some money when he grows up.
Yeah, but you're really getting very much for a bone. Mm. Here's coronary artery.
Well, I think you need that, don't you? How do you give that up?
Heart disease is one of the most common ailments a person can develop. There are numerous surgeries utilized to help this issue, ranging from coronary bypass to a heart transplant. Although coronary artery transplants don't happen, there's still some demand for this particular body part. In fact, selling this artery can bring in an average of $1,500.
I'm here to tell you right now.
Don't they have to cut open your chest to get to that?
And cut it off your heart? I'm wanting more than $1,500 to give a coronary artery.
Yeah, that ain't right. That ain't right at all. All right, you willing to give up a section of your small intestine?
Yeah, they got a lot of that. I wouldn't think that would pay very good. Because I would think there's a lot of that to be had.
It says the estimated street value is $2,500 for a chunk of your small intestine. Yeah. Huh. I don't know that I give it up. Oh, here's some others.
Well, you've got quite a list, don't you? Know,
this may go into part two tonight. Skull? A skull with teeth. Why would you give up a skull? What is somebody going to do with a skull?
If I don't have my skull, when I like shake my head, it's going to just kind of like flap around, isn't it?
It would be like a spleen. With bile coming out of it.
I guess they put a balloon inside and kind of inflate it to give you a round head shape that'll hold a hat.
In many cases, items procured via the black market are not used for human transplant. Instead, body parts such as the spleen, gallbladder, and shoulder are more likely to end up in the hands of a medical researcher or someone who collects oddities. Okay.
So that would be like you.
I'm not going to pay $1,200 for a human skull.
Not when Larry already said you could have his when he died.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, this is getting really weird. A scalp. It says, in 2015, Houston surgeons performed the first scalp transplant in the world. Now, what if you, you know, like, you're a totally bald guy, and your goal in life is to have a
full big head, full hair.
And then they transplant, and it all falls out.
Okay. I used to say that the person you're getting it from wasn't on the
You know how much a scalp is worth?
No.
$600. That's it.
You know, back in the Wild West, when both the cowboys and Indians were scalping each other?
Yeah.
There's some money to be had. Oh,
there's
there.
A bounty in that, I think.
Yeah, probably.
You can sell skin by the inch. You know, for skin grafts?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not worth very much. A 1-inch square patch of skin?
Yeah.
$10.
You know, for me...
You gotta give up a lot of skin.
And I'm saying somebody's gonna have to pony up more money for me to give up an inch of my skin than just $10.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah. I'll take an inch of your hide.
That sounds like something Dad would have said.
Sounds like somebody is getting ready to get into a scrap.
Getting into a whipping.
All right, Rick.
Is it that time?
Yeah.
I guess it is.
What's your time worth, Rick?
See you later from Rick Gator.
And Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters, tastes just like chicken, but it's not, and by Dr. Ferd's Refurbished Body Parts. Feeling run down and need a kidney? Call Dr. Ferd. Got run down and want to donate a kidney? Call Dr. Ferd for that, too. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that little bit of legal business safely in hand, see you later from Rick Gator and Alligator. This has been a Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network production, except no substitutes aren't any.